Welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast with Gary Atkins, pastor of Willing Vessels Christian Center in King, North Carolina. In a postmodern culture, Pastor Atkins preaches an old-fashioned message under a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, pointing men and women to the truth of Scripture and freedom found in Jesus Christ. Pastor Atkins believes the body of Christ has a voice, and when we declare Jesus is Lord, we have a voice of power. Here's a recent message from the Tabernacle of Willing Vessels Christian Center.
So I'm going to be in Matthew 2, and we'll start at verse 13. Now, this is Matthew's account of the early years of Jesus, and this is the flight to Egypt precipitated by the angel's warning. Look at verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Can I say this? Faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Amen. Joseph's faith was being tested, wasn't it? The Lord visits him in a dream. Herod was seeking to destroy young Jesus, right? You know, the devil has been trying to destroy the seed of the woman ever since he's heard the prophecy given by God in Genesis 3:15 that said, "The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent." And ever since, he's been trying to destroy the seed of the woman. He started when he diabolically got into Cain's heart and told him to kill his brother Abel. Then Seth comes along, and you can see all through Israel's history how that the devil tried to destroy the seed of the woman. And he's doing it through Herod right here. He's trying to destroy young Jesus, right? Because now his antenna's up. He thinks something's going on here, right? The virgin birth, the power of God, the star in Bethlehem. And of course, diabolically in Herod's heart, he goes after Jesus. And he tries to destroy his life. Now, the devil is trying to destroy the body of Christ. He is out to kill, steal, and destroy your life. He's out to capture and destroy your family. He's out to capture and destroy America and every value that we stand on as Americans in this nation. Do you realize that? Hebrews 2 and 14, I want to read it to you. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," that's you and I, "he also himself, being Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy," everybody say destroy, "him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Now think about that. This passage is telling us that God became human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became one of us so that he could defeat and overcome the power of sin and the power of death. Therefore, when we place proper faith in his finished work, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, when we place faith in that work, at that moment, we gain victory over death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Christ is the one who was dead, but now he lives. And he says, "I have the keys of death and the grave." But the Bible says here that he destroyed the power that the devil had. Now, in the Greek, that actually means to render powerless. That's what he did. Satan is still actively opposing the purpose of God in the world, but at the cross, he received a head blow, didn't he? His time is short and his doom is for sure. He is a defeated foe. If you believe that, shout yes.
Yes.
Jesus was born to die, but only at an appointed time. And can I reassure you this morning that if you are in God's will, in the purpose and plan of God for your life, you will not die until the will and purpose of God has been fulfilled in your life. If you're in the will of God and your commitment is to Christ, you are indestructible. Whether it be wars and rumors of wars and violence and chaos or COVID-19 or any other disease, if you're in God's will, you are indestructible and and you do have an appointed time, but it's given and directed by Almighty God. So never allow the fear of death to grip your heart. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Oh, but to die is gain. Because even when you take your last breath, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now, he's still out to kill, still and destroy, but Jesus has defeated. He has rendered powerless the power of death. Hallelujah. For as one by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, therefore death has passed upon all, because all have sinned. Everybody in here deserves a death sentence, to be separated from God for all eternity. But aren't you happy this morning that Jesus Christ, that God decided to become a man and impregnated a virgin named Mary, came into the world, walked and lived a sinless, perfect life, and then went to Calvary's cruel cross, laid down his life so that you could have victory. Amen. Joseph was told to remain in Egypt until the death of Herod. Look at verse 15 of Matthew 2. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. The sojourn and eventual departure from Egypt fulfilled prophecy of Hosea 11 and verse 1, where it says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now we have a picture here, because if you remember Egypt, you think about the Israelites, the bondage of 400 plus years of slavery of the Jewish people, the oppression of the Jews. Then God raised up a man by the name of Moses, and he fled, from Egypt. But he also took God's people with him. Jesus Christ, it's not a coincidence that he was directed to go to Egypt and to be called out of Egypt, because Jesus is our Moses, see? He was called out of Egypt, but by his death, by his resurrection, hallelujah, he calls you and I out of the proverbial Egypt, which is bondage, death, separation from God. He pulls us out of the bondage of sin, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. If you're forgiven, shout aloud, amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to see the massacre of the infants. Herod's angry decree. Look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, having been frustrated from his original plans. See, look at verse 7 of Matthew chapter 2. What was his plan? Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently that what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Now, Herod had no intention, he had no plan to worship young Jesus. He wanted to take his life. He felt that his throne was threatened. Do you realize that when he murdered and slaughtered these infants, that his child was one of them? Did you know that? History bears that out. That he killed his own children, even his teenage sons, who he felt would take his throne in a coup to deceive him. This was a wicked, diabolical, demonic-inspired king, King Herod. He wanted to take the young child's life. The devil has had a plan, a scheme, ever since he heard the words, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. But his plans have been spoiled. Say spoiled. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That word spoiled means to disarm. So when Jesus went to Calvary, what did he do? He disarmed the power of the devil and the power of principalities and powers. Let me put it in language you'll understand. He disarmed the power of fear. He disarmed the power of anxiety. He disarmed the power of depression. He disarmed the power of being caught in the snare and in the bondage of sin. I'm telling you, you don't have to be a habitual sinner. You can be set free and you can walk in righteousness and holiness and purity before Almighty God, because he has disarmed the power of the devil. Hallelujah. Herod ordering the death of all male children 2 years and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding districts. Jeremiah, the great prophet, prophesied that this would happen. Look at verse 17 of Matthew chapter 2. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. This terrible calamity, ladies and gentlemen, was foreseen by the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31 verse 15. He was alluding to the exile of Israel, which was a type and shadow of the grief that these parents would experience when their children are slaughtered at the hands of this wicked man. Now I want you to think about something here. This is important, all right? During times of calamity and confusion in the world, Christ can be birthed in somebody's life. During all of the chaos and the tears and the pain that was taking place in Bethlehem, people losing their children at the hands of a world leader, mind you. During all of that, Jesus was birthed into the world. What does that say to us? Even during times of chaos like we're living in right now, Christ can be birthed in people's lives and he can be formed in people's lives. Even in your family, you may have a child who's acting crazy, who's running amok, who's walking and living in disobedience. But during all of that turmoil, Christ can be birthed in their lives. Christ can be formed inside their heart and in their spirit. You intercede for them and do not stop praying for them. God will save them. Hallelujah. In the midst of it all, he is faithful. Let's look at the return to Nazareth. Joseph was directed via dreams, wasn't he? Follow along with me, verse 19 of Matthew 2. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and he took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go hither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. First, we have the return to Israel, for Herod was dead. Secondly, he goes to Galilee instead of Judea, for Herod's son, Archelaus, was reigning in Judea. I want you to notice something about this, that the Lord, through the angel, in the dream, he tells him to go back to Israel. He never said anything about Nazareth. You have to pay attention to the details. Because like I've told you before, you know the beginning and you know the end. We're victorious, right? But in the middle, he never really gives us a glimpse, does he? Why? Because he wants us to walk and live by faith. Belief and obedience is faith with legs on it. Amen? When you attach legs and get moving, walking and living in obedience, walking by faith and not by sight. He obeyed the word of the Lord. And as he went, God directed him in the path that he should go. You can't foresee what's going to happen in the future. But he knows, but he doesn't divulge all the information to you at once. Why? Number one, you couldn't handle it. And number two, he wants you to live by faith. The most exciting life a person can live is a life that's lived by faith. Your life's like a roller coaster, up and down, hills and valleys, right? Low valleys and high peaks. You never know where you're going to be at any given time. But you know that He is in control, and when it's all said and done, you are victorious in Christ Jesus. Amen? Oh, I love the Gospel of Matthew. So residing in Nazareth, another fulfillment of prophecy, of course. Verse 23, look with me at Matthew 2, and He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. The prophecy, He shall be called a Nazarene, was based upon the words of several prophets. In fact, in Isaiah 11 and verse 1 states that a branch would come out of the root of Jesse. Who was Jesse? He was the father of King David, right? I told you last week that Jesus is the root and the offspring of David. He's the root of David in that He created David. Yet He's the offspring in that His royal lineage from His mother and His father came from the Davidic line. So now Jesus will fulfill the Davidic covenant and be the King of kings and Lord of lords that will reign from Jerusalem. Remember, I told you that no Jew on this planet can trace their lineage. Did you know that? All the records were destroyed in the temple in 70 AD. So the only person alive, the only man alive, is Christ Jesus, who can trace His lineage all the way back to the Davidic covenant, and He shall be the royal line that shall sit upon the throne in Jerusalem. The root and the offspring of David, the branch, the righteous branch that we abide in and bear fruit. Amen? All right, it should be apparent that Matthew selected those events in Jesus' early life which were foretold by the prophets. This assisted him in his purpose to show his Jewish readers that Jesus was truly the Messiah. Matthew is writing to Jewish people. He's trying to convince them under the power of the Spirit that Jesus was and is the Messiah. Now, I want you to see two lessons that can be gleaned from Jesus' early life. Are you ready? Number one, worldly rulers are often opposed to God's rule. Well, you look like you don't believe that. Worldly rulers are opposed often to God's rule. This is seen throughout Jesus' life and the period following. Herod the Great, upset at his birth. Herod Antipas had John the Baptist imprisoned and soon beheaded. The leaders of Israel who plotted against Jesus, the ones who tried to cover up His resurrection, call it a hoax. The leaders that tried to stifle the New Testament church from sharing their story and their testimony by imprisonment, by persecution, and even martyrdom. And we should not be surprised. I want you to listen to me the next few moments. We should not be surprised if the same should happen to us today. The very thing that I'm preaching is happening today. Our nation is in a war. If you're watching, we're in a fight. It has nothing to do with racism. It has everything to do with the diabolical scheme of the devil arising in the hearts of people, and world leaders are behind it. Trust me. And here's where it all began. Are you ready? In 1962, they deemed it unconstitutional to have prayer in school. So they withdrew it. In 1963, the same court deemed it unconstitutional to read the Bible in classrooms. So they pulled God's word out of the classroom. In 1982, they said it was unconstitutional to have the Ten Commandments hanging on the walls of our schools. So they pulled God's word out of the hallway. So now when a young man carries a gun into the school, he can no longer read, "Thou shalt not kill." Since then, we've legalized abortion in many places. Since then, the highest court in the land has legalized same-sex marriage across the board. And we wonder why we're seeing what we're seeing today. We are seeing the fruit of a generation that knew not the Lord nor the works that he did in Israel. The seed was planted in 1962 when they took prayer out of schools. Now, when you go to your major universities today, they're teaching secular humanism. 80% of the rioters and looters are millennials. For 4 years, they've been taught that they are their own God, and if it feels good, go ahead and do it. Even if that means revolting against authority, you be a revolutionary in the name of yourself. If you want to be a female and you're a male, go right ahead. If you want to be a male and you're a female, who can stop you? If you want to withstand and resist authority, who can stop you? And your children, when they go to public school, they're having snake eggs placed into their head, you see. And it will hatch one of these days. That's why I harp so much on you getting your children into God's house. Make sure that they are hearing the Word of God, because they're not hearing it in schools, and they're definitely not going to hear it in the world. You need to tell them that the Bible still stands, that it's still God's Word, that it's still God's truth, and stand upon, thus saith the Lord. That's why, as long as my name's Gary Atkins, this church will not look like the world. We will not sound like the world. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if you're watching, just come to the well and drink. And know that there's living water when you come to Jesus Christ. If you believe it, shout amen. The values that this nation was founded upon. Or do you know today's Flag Day? How many knew that? When you walked up to these steps, you saw the American flag. You see it behind me. You see it on the screen. You see it back here. In recent weeks, we've seen it burned to the ground on our soil in the name of protest. That's a diabolical plan of the enemy. Not to break down government and law enforcement, to break down the values that this country was built upon. And it was built upon one God, under one God, one nation under God. But when you take God out of schools, and you take God out of the courtroom, and you take God out of off the bookshelves, I'm telling you, you will have a godless, lawless society. And we're seeing it today. The answer is not protest. The answer is not coming together and holding hands and say we love one another. The answer is saying that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And the only power that can change you is Jesus Christ. Jesus said it in John 15:18. He said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Satan has been trying to destroy the seed of the woman. Through Herod, he tried to take Jesus' life. And today, he's trying to stifle the voice of the church in America. But aren't you glad? According to prophecy. And Jesus, when he looked at Peter, he said, who do men say that I am? Peter, under the inspiration of God, says, thou art the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. And Jesus said, your flesh and blood hasn't come up with that reality, but only the Spirit of God could reveal that to you. And then in the next sentence, he said, upon this rock. I don't think he pointed at Peter. I don't think he was even talking about what Peter said. I believe he stood there boldly and said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me tell you something. Things will get worse. I hope we can delay what's going on. I hope we can experience a time of peace. I hope my children can grow up in the America that I grew up in. But I'm telling you, when it comes right down to the brass tacks, the Bible says it will be like it was in the days of Noah. Men's hearts failing them for fear. The love of many will wax cold. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. Oh, but just look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming, and you have to have a plan. Listen. If the early life of Jesus tells us anything, it's we have to have a plan. We need to be ready, because you will die. It's appointed unto man once to die. You might be martyred. What if they say, I can't preach this anymore? What if they say you can't shout about what you're shouting about anymore? And it could happen. It's starting to happen. When you watch the news and see the crazy, do you ever feel just like you're by yourself? Is anybody seeing this besides myself? But that's the generation, folks. And parents, you can change that with your children. But if you let them go the way of the world and just bring them here 1 hour a week, don't expect anything to happen. You get them in God's word, because 6 to 8 hours a day, they're having snake eggs placed in their head and in their spirit. And they will hatch. I promise you, we're seeing it today. We are seeing fruit that started in 1962. We're seeing it today. So you have to have a plan, an exit strategy. If you're not martyred, go by way of rapture. Yes. Noah was building the ark before rain ever started. He had a plan. He had an exit strategy. He was obeying God. Amen. And you this morning, if you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. And I don't care if you've been to this church for how long ever it's been open and you've been in church your whole life. But I'm telling you, if you're abiding in a life of sin, you need to get right with God. It's not time to play. It's time to develop an exit strategy and make a commitment to Christ. Not something half-hearted. I'm talking about 100% taking a knee to Jesus. Amen? If you're watching, I pray that you receive Jesus today. Who I preached his early life. He grew up to be a man, carpenter, who would eventually be despised and rejected by men. He would be abandoned by his disciples when he needed them the most. He was beaten. His beard was plucked out of his face. He was beat to the point they didn't even recognize him. The prophet Isaiah tells us that 39 times they beat him with a Roman whip. And historians say that every lash of that whip, that pieces of flesh the size of a man's hand, fell off of his body. When he hung upon the cross, they tried to give him myrrh so that his pain would be relieved, but he rejected it. Why? Because he did not want any pain relief. He wanted to take every pain, every hurt that you would ever experience. And that's what he did, so that you could have life here this morning and watching wherever you are and listening. Say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I give you my life. I confess my sin, and I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord of my life. And I boldly proclaim that I don't belong to the right or the left. And I'm not independently walking along the world, but I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, if you pray that, I believe God's changed your heart, changed your life. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Amen. I sure hope you prayed that prayer believing that Jesus has forgiven you of your sin and that he has transformed your life from this moment forward. And I'm so glad that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast. And we pray that it has been a blessing to you. If so, we would encourage you to consider giving a financial donation to help the Voice of Power stay on the air. You can give in three ways. The simplest way to give would be through text message, by simply texting a dollar amount to 336-747-3336 and following the instructions. And also, you can go to the website at voiceofpower.org and click on the Give link, and it will take you step by step on how to give financially to the Voice of Power. And thirdly, you can give by mail, P.O. Box 2439, King, North Carolina, 27021. And once again, we're delighted that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast and tune in next week at the same time. And I pray that the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, would be acceptable in his sight, for he is your strength and your redeemer.